I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. No, the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 233. I don't want it to sound like it's a question. Like I'm asking, is this the world's most powerful marketplace?
As far as I know, it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So you can ask it as a question or make a statement. Either way, it works.
I think it's better as a statement.
I agree.
The world's most powerful marketplace? The world's most powerful marketplace? Inflection is everything.
It is. And tone.
And tone, yeah. I always worry that my natural tendency to sarcasm is underlaying everything I say on this show.
But I think that's why we have some listeners who come back every week.
Really?
They like your sarcasm.
Oh, I don't know. Sarcasm is very corrosive, isn't it? It has to be judiciously applied, yeah.
Yes. Judicious. Good word.
It's where I grew up. Listen, if you're from Massachusetts, especially if you're from the eastern side of Massachusetts, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you say that sarcasm is in our blood. It's just instilled into us at an early age.
It was in this hallway just to the left of me and to the right of you when Trish Glenn, who was also from Massachusetts, was here with Clara doing that interview. And after the interview, the two of you back in the hallway, there was lots of sarcasm. It was bouncing off the hallway walls.
I'm sorry. You know, I've tried to become Californianized, but yeah. I can't. It's just so hard for me to keep that sarcasm down.
The sarcasm, and then it works really well when you have, like, the Massachusetts accents.
Yeah, well, that has to go with it.
You have
it
to have it.
It doesn't work without it.
No, like, if I said some of the stuff you said, like, people would hit me. They wouldn't know that it was sarcasm.
Oh, and you have to smile.
Yes.
You have to deliver the sarcasm with a big smile on your face, and that keeps them guessing. Are they being sincere, or is he really being, like, snarky?
Snarky. There's a good word.
Wicked snarky. Anyway, enough of me and enough about sarcasm. I guess you want to ask me who's our guest this week.
Well, who is our guest this week?
Well, I thought you'd never ask because we have a special guest waiting in the green room, so to speak. This week, Rebecca will be having a conversation with Adam Ireland. He's eBay's general manager for the U.S. market. He just took over that job recently, and he's going to join Rebecca, and they're going to have a conversation about the job, what he sees happening, and how it relates to sellers, which is what it's all about anyway. So
it is, especially on this podcast.
It's not about buyers. Unless we're trying to figure out how to get their money, right? So, but first, Brian, any news this week?
We do have some news this week, Griff. Well, technically, it was the news last week, to be precise. It is the eBay's Q1 2023 business results. And coincidentally, our guest this week, Adam Ireland, has a post on the announcement board outlining the results and what they mean for sellers in the year ahead and beyond. You can find the post at ebay.com/announcements. It's right at the top of the page.
Oh, okay. I'll go check it out. Do you have any other news?
Well, it's not really a news item, but I do want to encourage our listeners to check out the monthly chat. We had a really good chat with the shipping team on the new international shipping services that were announced when they were out answering sellers' questions. And you can find that by going to community.ebay.com and check out the community info tab, and you'll see a spot there that will say monthly chat.
Is it the same time every month?
It's the same time every month and a different topic each month.
What is the time of the month? Oh, God, that's not how I should say that. What day of the month is it usually?
It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific.
The first Wednesday.
So this was the second Wednesday, wasn't it, this last week?
So just check it out. Make sure it's a Wednesday then.
This month was the 8th. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. I remember hosting those. We used to have weekly chats way back when Jeff Terrell was leading up community.
Yeah, we just switched over to monthly last year and then tried to go a little bit more focused on topic and get some of our colleagues to come out and actually answer questions because it's tough to be expert on everything.
Tell me about it.
Especially weekly. That's why we have the podcast.
That's and we have it for many other reasons. For example, we do have a special guest this week in Studio A. And here to tell us all about it is eBay for Business correspondent and Director of Community and Seller Engagement here at eBay, our very own Rebecca Michaels. Rebecca, over to you.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Griff. I am sitting here with Adam Ireland, who is General Manager US, my boss, and longtime eBayer. Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca. It's been a while for me since I've been on the podcast as well, so excited to be back on here.
We are delighted that we co-opted you to be here. So, Adam, you've been, about 4 months in your new role? But you have worked all over eBay in your time here. Before we get into the meaty topics, tell us how the last few months been for you. How are you liking your new role?
It's been amazing. I've been really lucky to have over 11 years now here at eBay and been fortunate enough to get to work in a number of roles across the business, even spent some time overseas with that European business in Switzerland. But the last 4 months have been a highlight, absolutely. It's a true pleasure to be able to be out there, spend so much more time externally meeting with our customers, meeting with our sellers, and spending time really making sure that I can be the best representative of our seller base here within the headquarters here in San Jose.
That's great. And I know sellers have been really excited to get to know you. You're getting emails and texts from people, and that's how we like it. I get those too. It's the funnest part of the job, I think, having that personal connection with sellers.
It really is. And, you know, obviously there's the great stories that you hear, and then there's the opportunities for us to get better. And like, that's the feedback loop that we've got to have. And we've got to be able to make sure that we're hearing from all of our customers. And every single day, you know, Jamie, our CEO, talks about getting better, 1% better every day. And we can't do that without understanding the ways in which we can be improving and making lives better for all of our seller base.
Yeah, absolutely. So not just talking to sellers and engaging with sellers, but you actually have a pretty big job now, Adam, leading the U.S. And one of the things that we know that you're doing is leading a big part of the strategy that eBay is pursuing. And a lot of that is about focusing on a few categories of products and sellers. That's like trading cards, watches, sneakers. There's other ones on board and maybe even coming. We've heard this feedback. Our sellers keep asking and don't understand. They sell books. They sell, I don't know, glassware. They don't sell anything that has to do with sneakers. Why do we talk so much about these few categories? Like, what's in it for our sellers who don't sell sneakers and don't sell watches?
It's a great question, Rebecca. And fundamentally, we are a horizontal platform, right? We have everything under the sun to be able to be bought and sold on the eBay platform. And that's what makes us so special. It's really an amazing question to be asking, sort of, why do I hear so much about these sort of focus categories as you described? And for me, it really comes down to a couple of different reasons. The first of them is to use another word that you might have picked up that is being used more and more by eBay, which is this concept of enthusiast buyers. So what's an enthusiast buyer and why does it matter? Well, these are the core of the eBay buyer population. They're really those folks that are the most engaged users that we have out there. And what we see is in many of these focus categories, that's where those enthusiasts like to spend a lot of their dollars. And so it's really, really important that when they're such a key component of the overall user base, when you think about the fact that out of our 134 million buyers overall, we've got about 16 million of them that we classify as enthusiasts. But these 16 million are driving almost 70% of our total GMV. So it's really important that we understand their needs and we're meeting those needs really well because we don't want to be losing those enthusiasts off the platform. And so when we know that they're concentrated in some of these categories, really important that we look after those categories, make sure they're having a great experience when they shop there. But the other really important thing about these enthusiasts is that they're not just shopping in those categories. They're shopping across the whole platform because we are a horizontal platform. And so when you look at what they spend, yes, if you're looking at an enthusiast spending over $3,000 per year in 2022, we're seeing that enthusiast dollar being spread across multiple categories on the site.
Okay, so wait, tell me if I'm understanding it right. I personally shop on eBay for Funkos. I don't sell them because we collect them. I mostly sell women's clothing. So I shop on eBay for Funkos. I see something like The Mandalorian, and I actually end up wandering around. I buy the Funko, but then I find myself just sort of browsing and shopping and other things that are like Star Wars adjacent. And all of a sudden, my kid has a comic book as well or something. And so what you're saying, like my data set of one is kind of what we're seeing with other enthusiasts, only maybe not Funkos, maybe it's sneakers instead.
That's exactly right. If you look at a sneakers buyer who buys pairs of sneakers that are over $100, they'll on average spend about $450 on sneakers. Great, that's a really good buyer to have as part of the platform. But what makes them amazing is that they spend $1,900 in other categories. So the majority of their dollars are not going into the sneakers space. But if they're not happy with that sneakers experience, they're going to disappear and that $1,900 is going to disappear as well.
Right. That makes sense. So it's important for our listeners who might be more horizontal to think, okay, maybe what would a sneakers shopper also want to buy? Is it some kind of sportswear or other sports collectibles? Or mugs that have people's favorite teams on them, something along those lines.
That's exactly right. And you know, you brought up Funko. There was actually a really interesting event that we just had where we had an exclusive Funko that was up for sale. It was a little Mandalorian-based thing where there's a little Grogu sitting on the back of the Mandalorian's, I don't know what he calls it, like space bike thing. And that was a fun exclusive item that we had from Funko. But we were able to build an event where you had so much other related inventory on there, pulling in from all of our different sellers. And there were Mandalorian-themed sneakers on there. There were other pieces of Star Wars memorabilia, as you talked about, whether it was Lego sets and other pieces of Star Wars collectibles items that you'd be able to find and browse and buy if you're a Star Wars enthusiast.
If you're a bookseller, maybe there's that. But we're not necessarily recommending only lean in on those adjacent categories, because the shopping really is all across the site. It's just that we are getting people in the door through these particular categories and then sending them out into all of eBay to finish shopping.
That's exactly it, Rebecca. But it does also go beyond that, because we're also building new capabilities in these categories. And they're not capabilities that are just for that individual category. They're things that we're going to be able to take and we're going to be able to extend them across the whole platform. Authentication is a great example. We obviously launched the Authenticity Guarantee program a number of years ago now. We've slowly been able to extend that from watches to sneakers to handbags to jewelry to trading cards. And obviously, you can see the pattern here, and there are more that we're going to go to as we get there as well. These aren't individual features that we're only building for new categories. They're opportunities for us to learn and make things better across category by category across the platform. We just launched a new listing flow in sneakers, for example, that if you've not had the chance to go and see it, check it out. Significantly more simple to be able to go and list a sneaker using that new flow. Amazing for us to be able to learn in that very specific use case. And then say, hey, how do we make the listing flow easier for everyone across all categories based on the things that we learned in the sneaker space?
Okay, and there's a benefit already there for people who sell, who don't think of themselves as a sneaker seller. And it's kind of a test and learn, thin edge of the wedge, pick your metaphor. We're learning how to do it in that one particular category and then rolling it out wider.
That's right. And it's not only the tangible things as well. There's also intangibles that come from it. We talk a lot now recently about how we ensure we're building buyer trust. When you build a program like Authenticity Guarantee, where you're really driving a change in the perception of trust for all of those buyers, that creates a halo effect. And so if you're not coming in buy from that one of those categories, but you're aware that this is now a more trusted platform overall, it's also going to help you in other categories as well. And similarly, in refurbished, where we've got a refurbished proposition where you know that you're getting a warranty that backs up that item, again, it's helping to build up this halo effect of eBay's a really trusted place. And so every seller that's out there, they're going to benefit from that, because it will change the perception of buyers as to, hey, I'm coming to eBay. Am I really going to know that eBay has my back? Do the sellers on that platform have my back if I have an issue with the purchase?
And especially with Authenticity Guarantee, there's a benefit for returns as well, because it gets validated in both directions, your authenticated item, right?
That's 100% right. And we don't do a good enough job about making sure everyone understands that. This really does increase the level of seller protection as well. Because we're checking those things on the way out, we know exactly what state they're in. And so if you've gotten that item to the authentication center, we've checked that over, we're then going to have your back. You are not going to be getting a return that's coming back. There's no risks of the threat of a rock in a box and someone sending you something back that isn't what you actually sent out to them. You're fully protected once that item's gone through an authentication center.
That's great. Seller protections is a drumbeat that we hear. It's a real priority for the sellers. And so I'm actually going to turn to something that is another theme that we hear about a lot. I'm going to say the dreaded phrase, UPIs. It's only dreaded because having someone come and make an offer on your item and you accept the item, or they win your auction and then it takes 4 days and they don't pay, that is literally a dreaded experience. I've been through it. You sell, you've been through it. We want to know. We get asked constantly, what's happening with UPIs? What are we doing to fix it? Start off though with what have we done so far, and then tell us how much further we have to go.
Actually start off with just saying, look, we do get this. We viscerally understand the pain that this causes our sellers, and we understand that it's been a problem that's been around for too long. I can tell you that I sit in a lot of meetings with the eBay management team, and this is one of the top priorities for the whole of the eBay leadership to get this fixed for our sellers, because it isn't acceptable. Now, what I think is really promising is we have made some meaningful progress. Many of you who are using Best Offer will have actually seen this. So for a good proportion of the Best Offer listings that are out there, we are actually now requiring immediate pay. We are, though, still testing our way into this. Okay, why aren't we moving any faster? Well, we want to make sure that we're not creating any sort of experience that actually turns away good buyers, valid sales from you. If we're putting too much friction into that experience, we're asking too much from the buyer up front, then there's a risk that they're not going to complete the sale. That's the balance that we're trying to work through. That's the balance that we've got to try and strike. And as we get there, we'll continue to roll it out, make sure that all of Best Offer is covered and no more UPIs for Best Offer. But we also know that that's only, again, the starting point, and we need to take those learnings and we need to move them through into the auction format as well. Very much a top priority for this year. We've got a great team of people that are focused on that and solving this problem for our sellers.
Great. Thanks. It's great that you can come here and, you know, talk real frankly about where we've made real strides here and the more that we have to do. So I appreciate that, Adam.
That's really important to me as I've stepped into this role. Like, I want to be able to be honest and transparent with all of our sellers. You all deserve it. I want to make sure that I'm listening, but I'm also being able to play back to you in an honest way where we are and where we've still got things that we can work on. And it would be unfair to all of you if we didn't recognize that there's more that we need to be doing in the UPI space.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So there is another cool thing that we have built, granted, for these enthusiast buyers. But that's so cool, and our sellers are absolutely clamoring to get a turn at it. And that's eBay Live Shopping. I got to try it out myself and sell some stuff at eBay Open last year. I think you watched that happen. I've watched a bunch of other ones. 23,000 people shopping at the same time on these, or watching anyway, on these lives. I think it's the coolest thing we've done in a really long time.
It is. It's really cool. And kudos to you and Michael Radlich from that event at eBay Open. It was super fun. But you're right. Like, I've just loved watching many of these feeds, and never amazes me just to see the number of people that are flocking to them. When you go in and you're regularly seeing thousands of people there taking part in a live shopping event, it's just an incredible experience to be part of. You know, I think it's dangerous, and that's part of the success, right? You get so sucked in to listening to the presenters talking about the inventory. It's just such an engaging way of learning more about the items, which, again, for a place like eBay, is so important, right? That you're able to convey the amazing uniqueness or what makes something truly special about a particular item that you're selling. And you've just, you know, the live medium allows that so much more than a picture or a video can. I've just been finding myself getting sucked in, which then gets dangerous because then you start buying. I managed to hold off on the Pokemon event last week. My kids have got enough already, but managed to snag a MetaZoo pack back in one of the events that was run in fall of last year. Have to admit, I actually flipped that because it was an exclusive and we saw the price shoot up. So I made a little bit of money on that one. But it's such a fun way of shopping. And I think that's the reality of it. And if you're, you know, a younger buyer and you've grown up really on your phone and the phone is the device that you use and video is the medium that you're used to engaging with, then this is going to be the way that you're going to want to shop going forward. So super excited that we've been able to build this capability. You know, there's a lot of complexity around managing these events, right? Ensuring that it's a good experience, both for the sellers, that they're getting the audience that they need. You don't want to have someone going through the effort of doing one of these live events and then not have them have any audience show up, but also for the buyers to make sure that the audio quality is good enough, the video quality is good enough. So there's a lot of work that's kind of like just operational setup to make sure that we're in a place to be able to roll this out to a broader swath of sellers. But that's definitely the North Star. And we look forward to being able to get more of these live streams out there and expand it to more sellers in the future.
Let's end on a topic that I know you're really excited about. I'm really excited about it too, with a wink and a nod. Is there anything that's newly launched that you're really excited about? I think I know what it is, but you tell us.
So I love all my children, obviously, but our new eBay International Shipping Program is definitely my favorite right now. This is just such a win for our sellers. Obviously, we've had eBay International Shipping Programs in the past. We've had Global Shipping Program, or GSP. We've had the eBay International Standard Delivery, or EISD, in the past. And we're starting to build out now a new program that takes all of the things that people love from those programs and builds in an additional layer of protections for sellers, better value for sellers, and greater conversion for sellers on top of that. Really excited about the opportunity for sellers to get more velocity on their sales, make it super easy for them to be able to sell internationally and make more money along the way.
And sellers don't have to do anything, right? As they roll into the program, it just happens pretty seamlessly.
That's right. If you're using GSP today, Global Shipping Program today, or EISD, we will move those listings over for you as you become eligible. But would absolutely encourage those of you that haven't tried selling internationally before, that this now takes away all of the hassles. We'll handle customs clearance. We'll provide tracking. We'll provide and cover all of the post-transaction requests. So not worrying about returns in the future. We will manage all of that for you. You just need to get that package to our domestic hub. It's just like a domestic sale. and then you're good to go. For all of you that are out there, haven't tried international sales before, really nothing to lose by opting into this program.
I love it. It sounds like it could be a game changer. Adam, really appreciate you giving us this time. Will you come back again?
Absolutely. Whenever you want me.
All right. We'll come find you in a month or two. Listen, for everyone out there, we're going to put some links in the show transcript. I'll read off the URL where you can find out a little bit more about international shipping. That's ebay.com/sellercenter/shipping/ebay-international-shipping. But again, those links will be in the show notes. And with that, Adam, any final thoughts before we let you get back to whatever your next meeting is?
Thanks, Rebecca. It's been great being on here again. Been far too long. And yeah, excited to come back later in the year and maybe talk about some of the other new features that have been able to roll onto the platform that help all of our sellers and attract those enthusiast buyers.
All right. I love it. Thanks so much. And with that, back over to you and Brian, Griff.
Thanks, Rebecca. So it's time. You got questions?
We've got answers. And our first question, or more to the point, questions, comes from eBay seller Dana. Dana sent not one, not two, but three questions to us. Why don't you read the first one, Brian, and we'll take turns.
Sounds good. Dana starts off with, "Hi guys, love the podcast. I have just a couple of questions. Hope these are easy enough that you can answer all of them. Thanks for all you do, Dana." My first question, I've been using promoted listings with great success. Sometimes I use the percentage that eBay has suggested, but I have noticed that the suggestion changes after I set it. How is the suggestion set in the first place, and why does the percentage change? If it does change, is there any reason I should go back in and adjust my percentage to the current suggestion?
What do you think?
Well, Dana, the percentage shown as a suggestion is based on the current average percentages selected by sellers for the keywords you have provided. That average shown is dynamic. It changes every time a seller creates or edits a promoted listings campaign. So you can imagine, with popular keywords, there are a lot of new or edited campaigns where sellers indicate a percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening every second. You know, those same keywords, a seller may be putting a higher percentage or lower percentage, and either way, it's going to change what that average shown to all sellers for those keywords, what right. It's going to be. So that's why it changes. Dana, knowing this, you might want to check in on your existing PL campaigns occasionally and see if your percentage is close to what's the current average or way off the current average. And well, just maybe adjust it as you see fit, but I'd recommend against checking it too frequently, like say every hour or so, just to adjust it up or down based on the suggested percentage shown at any given time, because you're going to waste a lot of time. But once a day, don't worry about it. Maybe check it and make a decision. You may decide not to change it. It's up to you, but yeah, that's why it changes.
And if you have a lot of listings, maybe it's not even once a day. It's one of those things where it's a weekly exercise. You run through a batch of your listings. Or if you see that, you know, you've got multi-quantity listings and they're not selling as much as they did, maybe other sellers have come in and bid up higher. And that's an opportunity for you and go list. Or if you're selling more than you thought,
leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Or can you get away with giving eBay a little less and lowering it? I know the promoted listing team will not like me saying that, but you know, it's truthful. I mean, it's dynamic, as we said, so you can adjust up or down.
Give eBay just enough of a percentage in a promoted listing fee for getting the item sold. Don't overdo it.
The other thing is, Griff, we didn't touch on, there is the ability to set the rate so that it
adjusts automatically.
It adjusts automatically as
well. That's a good point. Yeah. That's when you set up the campaign, you can say, adjust the rate. And you can do so within a set of parameters. So you don't,
right.
If it goes up to 20% and you don't want that much, it'll, you know, stop. All just to get your item sold. That's the important part. If you have any questions about promoted listings, send them on to us. We'll do our best to answer them. Dana's second question is this. I sell mostly trading cards and use the standard envelope for shipping. I recently sold multiple cards to one buyer who requested that the shipments be combined. I set a flat rate shipping charge, which he had already paid. It would have been cheaper to use the standard envelope to ship each of the cards individually. The question is, can I set individual orders to not offer combined shipping? Or can I change it once the buyer has paid and requested a combined shipment? I'd let the buyer know of the change. I suspect that the buyer thinks it will make shipping cheaper, but he's already paid my flat rate fee, so it would be a no change to him. There's a lot of questions in that second question. Maybe you should just make an appointment to come into the studio so we can discuss this. But This is a little confusing. But anyway, you know, I always have to do a little research, Brian, because I have to admit our combined shipping and shipping discount rules that you can set in shipping preferences are a little complex. I wish we'd make it simpler. Anyway, to your question, Dana, about combined shipping, it's an all or nothing setting. That is, it's global. If you turn it on. If you turn it off for all your listings. There isn't a per listing option for offering combined shipping. It's either or.
And even if a buyer combines two or more purchases from you into a combined payment, you still have the option of combining or not combining them into one or more shipments.
That's right, yeah.
So that could be a viable option you can employ while still keeping the combined shipping setting to yes.
Yeah, when you go to print the label, it says, do you want to combine these shipments? Even if they were all on one invoice, you can say no, or you can say yes. It's up to you. That would work. And then at the point of purchasing labels, you can select the right combination that works best for you and your buyer. You can say, I want to combine these two, or I don't want to combine anything, or I want to combine them all. And if they qualify for, say, all one shipment in an eBay standard envelope, you can combine or not combine them as you see fit. So say they bought six, and you can fit three into eBay standard envelope. You can combine one set for one envelope and the other set for the other envelope. And as long as that category qualified for the eBay standard envelope, you'd be able to select that as a shipping option from your list of options when you go to print the label.
That makes sense. And this scenario might also be a good candidate for free shipping. That is a flat rate built into the item price. So if you figure by weight of each item that the items would cost, say, around 30 cents each to ship in an eBay standard envelope shipment, then you could combine or not combine as you see fit, and the price for shipping paid by the buyer as a part of the total cost doesn't enter into the equation.
Yeah, it's the one thing about free shipping when you can do it that really makes it simple is that no longer is shipping a cost for negotiation or to be scared that maybe the buyer is going to say they paid too much. That's the biggest reason, I think, for offering free shipping when it's applicable. You're still going to charge it to the buyer and the price of the item, but then it gives you leeway to select what's going to work best for your business, while at the same time, the buyer isn't concerned because they know what they bought these items.
Right.
You know,
and then as a seller, if they want to too, they can also do something like if they offer free shipping, and let's say you know you can get some cost savings with shipping by combining multiple items. You can also say, if you buy a second card, you get 30 cents off, or you buy a third card, it gets you 30 cents off.
You can do that with promotions.
Correct.
There's a purchase discounts where you can say buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one for this amount. And that will be for an individual listing. You can set that up for several listings, a category, all your listings, or just one listing. You can set that up. So that's a way of getting around the restriction about, you know, combine or not combine in the shipping preferences being a global setting. Dana, you should explore also the shipping discounts help page and read through your options there. Because a seller can create something called discount rules, shipping discount rules for both flat and calculated shipping policies, and then apply a specific one to a listing at the time the listing's created, or you can add it as an edit to an existing listing. And the shipping discount help page will explain it all to you. Because like I said, those old legacy discounts, they work, but they're a little complicated. But in order to create and apply your own shipping discount rules through that process, you still have to have combined shipping for all your listings set to yes. But that's ultimately still your decision to make at the time of printing out a label. We hope we've answered your question. If not, just send us another email with like, oh, I don't know, maybe this time 6 or 7 or 10 questions.
That was a little bit of your Massachusetts sarcasm, I think, coming out.
I didn't put the accent on it.
No, you didn't. But I saw the smile, but Dana may not have seen the smile.
So I'd have to say it like this. Oh, and Dana, whatever you do, send us like 1,000 questions in one email again. We love it so much. Yeah, really. Anyway, that's sarcasm.
Hopefully that answered her second question. And finally, Dana's last question.
There's more?
There is. She did say there were 3.
Oh, that's right.
Is there some place we can see if an order is sold through Google or any source other than eBay? Well, Dana, there isn't a data point for specific individual outside sources, but in the traffic section of Seller Hub, under the Performance tab, there is a metric for external page views, which shows the number of visits to a listing page from outside eBay. For example, a visit to the listing page from an external search engine like Google.
But it doesn't say Google, it just says external pages.
Right.
Yeah, so that's just external page views. There isn't a data point, just to be clear, to show where a purchase or winning bid originated, correct?
That's right. A seller can view the traffic metrics for active or sold listings, but for each. The only data points regarding page views are for those that originated inside eBay and those that originated from a site external to eBay.
Okay. Well, Dana, thanks. That's our show for this week. I think
Not quite.
Why?
We still have more questions from other sellers.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course we have more questions. It's not all Dana, Dana, Dana.
I like that. You did three Danas for her three questions.
There you go. A seller, EC Supplies, wrote this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, I just had a question about increasing sales on eBay. Do sales increase the more that you're active on eBay? Does it bump your listings to the top of the search page? I would love to hear the answer to this question on your podcast. I do have a small eBay store, and I would love to know more information about how to increase sales. Thanks. And it's EC Supplies is the user ID. They didn't give us a name. Oh, first off, I have to say I love an email that talks about the perennial mystery here at eBay about the more you list, the more you sell, and no one knows why. You've heard this, right?
I have heard it.
There's a mystery. I haven't sold anything for a week. I list a new item, and suddenly two items sell.
Boom.
Why?
I have a theory, but it's an untested theory.
Well, tell us.
So my theory is when you list something new, somebody might have been following your store and they see a new listing. There's some trigger that it actually gets them to go look at, you know, maybe it's the new item that they look at, but they now are back in your store looking at other inventory that you've got. I know I've also asked folks on the search team and they don't think there's anything that happens when you list new items.
I know, and I've asked the same search team the same thing. And I said, well, our community of sellers who actually do the selling, thank you very much, and not the search team.
They see it happen.
They see it happen every day, and every time they ask me, I have to go, ooh, is a mystery, because I have no idea, and I experienced it myself. I just did this week. I'm down to 40 items, so I'm not selling much, right, because I'm getting ready for a move, and I'm not trying not to build up my inventory before then, but, you know, I have some stuff I want to get rid of. I didn't sell anything for a whole week. That's unusual for me. And I thought, well, so you only got 40 listings. What are you going to sell? You know, we'll talk about that in a minute. So I listed an item. Two or three things from my store sold within the next few hours. And I'm thinking, there has to be a connection, isn't there? Why can't we figure this out? We can't, and it's because it's a mystery.
And there's a few mysteries about our platform, and maybe we should start titling them like the ghost in the machine. And so this could be ghost one in the machine, and then we'll have ghost two in the machine. And I bet our listeners could come up with half a dozen ghosts before the next episode.
And I hope you do send them to us, because then I can have an excuse to add like creaky music and sound effect underscores, which as an amateur producer, I love to do. So
even before October.
Yeah, even before October. However, there are some things that aren't a mystery we should talk about. And one of them is your contention or your question about EC. And I'm talking about EC Supply here, not you, Brian, that said, do sales increase the more you're active on eBay? Well, that's a mystery. But does it bump your listings to the top of the search page? So overall, more sales do not bump up your listings in search. However, there's one exception, and this one is not a mystery. Individual multi-quantity listings can receive a boost in search, specifically best match search results, based on the number of sales from that single listing. So it is true for the one listing that's multi-quantity.
Right.
The more you sell, the more it's going to rise up in a best match search, which can result in more sales.
Right, because it's kind of an indication. Buyers are voting with their wallet in that scenario. They're buying that item.
EC wants to know how to increase sales overall. What do you tell them, Brian?
I think the best way to increase sales is to follow the defined eBay best practice for best match found on the help and contact pages. Search help and contact on the keywords best match and click the first link on the top of the returned results.
Yeah, and that's a page I'm always sending people to because it's our recommendations. We want to see you make lots of sales because, I don't know, maybe it should be one of the bylines for this podcast. The more you sell, the better we do. So our businesses are symbiotic in that sense. We don't want you to not sell. We want you to make lots of sales. And another point to keep in mind, most of the time when I receive a query about increasing sales and I check that seller's listings, they'll have 30 or 40 or maybe near 100 active listings at most. Now, if you have 100 listings or less and the items are mostly pre-owned apparel or collectibles or miscellaneous, you know, one of the kind, not multi-quantity listings, and they're not all new or none of them are new, and you want to increase your sales, you have to list more inventory. It's just the way it works.
It is. Even if your inventory was carefully vetted from your sources, think about it. How likely are you to buy something from, say, a thrift store that has only 50 things for sale or 5 things for sale?
Yeah, it's a great point. It's not very likely. I mean, you're kind of limiting the choices.
Exactly. It is always a struggle trying to make a decent and consistent sales number with a small inventory, whether you're set up in a group shop or in your own store or on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
The most successful sellers of general merchandise, that is, mostly pre-owned inventory, tend to have 500 or more active listings at any given time because you need a volume of stuff available to make consistent sales.
Yeah, and I can tell you right off the top of my head, I immediately think of Lynn Drawley, the queen of auctions.
Yep.
It's the kind of merchandise that she's been selling for years and doing so successfully. But she's got anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 items listed at any time. And she says it herself. If you want to sell this kind of merchandise at a volume that's going to make it a viable, productive business, you got to have that much inventory for your buyers to select from. Now, if you're selling a list of new in-package SKU merchandise, you can get away with fewer listings, but that isn't the case with a single quantity listing for mostly pre-owned stuff.
And the big listing mystery still remains. The mystery that most sellers experience.
Right. Why do I sell a lot of items once I've listed an item? We don't know. Just the act of listing new inventory on a regular basis, like every day, somehow almost always results in more sales, regardless of the number of active listings you have. So I think that the answer to this, in brief, is the more you list, the more you sell.
Yeah.
So get listing, EC. Get listing.
Good advice, Griff. Our next question comes from seller Otha, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Greetings, eBay Podcast. Thank you for all the insightful information. I have a question on send offers. Is there any way possible to get a notification on the eBay app when a seller has send offers available? It feels like half of the time sending out send offers immediately results on an agreed offer. Thanks. Oh, also, any way I can get one of those eBay mugs? Thanks. Otha, the answer is no.
Yeah, it's no, there's no notification for that. I can see why there wouldn't be, by the way. Think about it, because you'd be getting endless notifications. I'm assuming that Otha is talking about, as a seller, getting notifications that she or he has listings where they can send an offer. And if you have lots of listings up here, you're just going to get a bunch of notifications.
Right.
If you meant something else, email us back and let us know. But for the way that I interpreted your question, I think, but the answer is clearly no. There's no way to do that. But we like the way you're thinking.
Yes. It would drive sellers crazy, I think.
Can you imagine if it was like a little beep on your phone? Ding, you can send an offer. Ding, you can send an offer. Ding, you can. We'd have people going psychotic. There'd be like mass hysteria, violence in the street, sellers pulling out their hair.
But if someone only had a small amount of listings, then I could see why they would see value in it.
Yeah, but if you have a small amount, you can go see it yourself in your active view.
Right.
I know that's not the answer you want to hear, but unfortunately.
It is the answer.
It is the answer. And finally, and I this time for sure finally, the last question. It comes from eBay seller Phil, who wrote this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi again, Griff and Brian. Sometimes I list multiple items which are related in some way, and buyers may be interested in purchasing two or more different items from me that they desire to combine shipping. For example, I may have one listing for men's dress shoes and another listing for shoe trees. Is there any way for a buyer to efficiently search for multiple items from the same seller? Currently, I believe the buyer would have to perform a tedious process of two or more searches to determine if a seller has more than one item they're interested in. Thanks, Phil, whose ID is PManny, PManny. Well, Phil, there are several ways that you can make it easier for a buyer to search for and find more items of interest from your own active listings. For example, in your item descriptions, you can point to sellers' other items, either as a link or just say, check out my other items. Or if you subscribe to an eBay store, you can simply point to it and say, hey, check out more items in my eBay store. So that's a very basic way to do it. And when a buyer uses the search feature, either on your seller's other items page or in your eBay store page, they are by default only searching your inventory, not all of eBay. And there's another thing, if you have a store that makes it valuable, you can point to it and you can feature listings, what's new. You can direct people to your own store category. So if they do buy, in your example, a pair of dress shoes and you also sell shoe trees, you can make it very clear that there's a shoe tree category. And, oh, okay, I'll buy it from the same seller. That's a few. What do you have for us? Right.
Well, and another solution is to use the promotions feature in Seller Hub.
Oh, of course. Right.
You can create markdown sales events and offer purchase discounts, and you can select inventory from your active listings for these promotions by individual item or category.
And what's cool about that is it shows up, unlike having to direct people to your store or your other items, these items can show up directly on your listing page.
Right.
Brian, I should have thought of that first. Go check it out. You just go to Seller Hub and there's a promotions tab there. And each of the different promotions, because there's several of them, have help pages that will explain how to use them. But it's a great way of putting merchandise. It's a kind of merchandising, right?
Yes.
You can put some of your other, and it's just your merchandise, by the way. You can put it in front of them to entice them to buy not just the dress shoes. Here's a shoe tree to keep them nice and clean and safe and unwrinkled.
Yes.
Well, Phil, I hope that information helps. That was definitely the last question.
That's it for this week's You Got Questions. But if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business and you have a question about selling on eBay, why not call us on 888-723-4630.
That number, 888-723-4630, you can call at any time of day, any day of the week, leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air, or we might call you and say, would you like to be on the air?
Yes.
Next week, we have one of those.
Oh, great. I like when they come on the air.
Oh, I do too. It's usually unexpected and fun. So
yes. And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now, fair warning, your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Need I remind you how important it is to be as efficient as possible with your business operations? Need I?
I suppose you do.
Exactly. And what is the most efficient way to print shipping labels, Brian?
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, no. Let me guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
A thermal printer?
Oh, you're such a good student, Brian.
And you're a good mag, Griff.
Brian, mag? I'm deeply offended. You cut me to the quick, young man. Anyway, buy a thermal label printer now and deduct it as a business expense, although I can't give you tax advice.
And tell them Griff sent you.
Yeah, do that.
Finally, need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, we'll talk with eBay's Stephen Livingston from the Sneakers Vertical Team all about, well, selling sneakers.
He might be smelling and selling sneakers.
We should do a segment on smelling sneakers. I can't even say it now. Anyway, Stephen will be here and he'll talk about that vertical and why it's important that what they're doing in that vertical can someday actually impact the way you as a non-sneaker seller sells.
There might be some rule by the FCC about podcasts on smelling sneakers.
How do you smell sneakers on a podcast? We have to send out scratch and sniff cards.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay General Manager for the United States, Adam Ireland.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.